a favorite thing of mine to do on these long winter nights that only gets to happen maybe once every few weeks is that William and I are home together on a weeknight, and we spend it reading, chatting, or doing crossword puzzles, me on the couch and him in a nearby armchair. It's cozy. I like to light a scented candle. The aroma sets an ambiance, the tiny flame a quiet, calming visual after a long day. If we time it right, we begin with evening prayer at 6 p.m., just like we did tonight. William chooses music, settings of the Magnificat and the Nunc Dimittis, along with an anthem, from CDs in his extensive cathedral choir collection, amassed over years of gift shop visits in England. To operate the stereo without having to get up, he uses the rubber end of a cane to stab at it. Play, pause, forward, his version of a remote control. I lie down during the music and readings. To meditate, I insist, except a light snoring soon gives me away. After evening prayer, we try to not look at our cell phones for a while and read our books. If eternity turns out to be God giving us a chance to spend all of time within just 4 or 5 moments of our lives, this would be one of mine. There is a similar intimacy in today's gospel reading. When Simeon takes the baby Jesus into his arms, the whole world falls away, and it's just the two of them. There are lit candles in the temple, the lingering smell of incense. Simeon looks into the infant's eyes and sings his song, the Nunc Dimittis, which we just sang. Lord God, you now have set your servant free to go in peace as you have promised, for these eyes of mine have seen the Savior. I say this is similar to my evenings with William because we, like Simeon, allow the world to stop and fall away so that we can ground ourselves in the presence of God, just like Simeon did. And my message to you this evening is a simple one. Try to do likewise. Whatever cares or responsibilities or worries that you encounter each day, find time to sit with the divine. Sing to it. Light a candle. Invite Jesus in. Find the way that best works for you to settle down and cozy up to God. Today's feast of the presentation of our Lord Jesus Christ in the temple, which we shorten to call also Candlemas, is the end of what we have been celebrating for 40 days, the Nativity cycle. It began on Christmas Eve. And even though our secular lives, what we are doing in the real world, have probably made us all but forget that we were still living within this special 40-day season of the church, I mean, didn't Christmas end with the Feast of the Epiphany and the Three Wise Men on January 6th? Even though we may have forgotten, Candlemas is that final little tap on the shoulder to remind us that, hey, everything is still special and newly born. So cherish it this one last day. The church doesn't make that big a deal out of Candlemas. We're probably the only Episcopal church in our diocese that is celebrating tonight. And because it's not a big deal, the presentation can feel like a coda of sorts, an afterthought, a last little bit of baby Jesus magic, which we'd forgotten about because, you know, we've already seen him baptized and preaching his Beatitudes in recent Sundays. But I commend this day to you. It's one of my favorite celebrations of the church year. And I especially love that we at St. Luke's use this evening to set an intention before God for the rest of the year. As you go through your year 2026, whenever you do revisit the intention you will set tonight, it's like you're lighting tonight's candle once more, regrounding yourself in the presence of the divine. For as much as Candlemas might seem like an afterthought, notice how its intimacy sort of bookends this nativity season. Though, you know, we do make a huge deal out of Christmas, the story itself is a quiet one. A mother gives birth to a child in a cave with donkeys and cows and a few shepherds straggling in. They're out of the way, unnoticed, until, of course, three wise men from afar suddenly show up, which does admittedly lend some razzle-dazzle to the goings-on. They are there as Gentile witnesses, non-Jews from foreign lands, to illustrate that salvation is for all. Simeon's words tonight confirm that teaching. You shall be a light to lighten the Gentiles. And yet, even with the visit of three posh wise men, our hearts walk away from the Christmas story singing, Silent Night, Holy Night. I'm deliberately trying to guide you towards a sense of silence, intimacy, and coziness this evening, describing the stillness of Simeon's encounter with Jesus, relating the scene at the manger on Christmas Eve in that quiet cave, evoking the same with my story of quiet evenings with William, because I want you to prepare for the maelstrom to come this year in our nation. To urge you to ground yourself starting now in God's presence, that you may not stumble when the buffeting commences. I pray that whatever intention you set, it helps you focus on what's important in your life. Whether it's your health, your loved ones, or your commitments, and may it serve as a reminder, remember that God's love is always with you. An inextinguishable candle in your heart. Remember that we are in this together. Whatever our politics or beliefs, we are brothers and sisters in Christ, and we are called as such to care for the dignity of all persons. And don't lose hope. In a few moments, you will see a bunch of lit candles up here stuck in the sand, flickering together before God. Take a mental snapshot of that and pull it out whenever you need reminding of how much light can be cast by a community that lives with intention and with hopefulness. It occurred to me this year that one more thing Simeon had in common with those wise men, with Anna, the prophetess in today's reading, and possibly with those shepherds too, is that none of them lived to see what became of that baby Jesus when he grew up. Neither the miracles, nor the healings, nor the crucifixion, nor the resurrection. And so in a way, their experience of God's salvation through Jesus Christ was always one of hopeful joy, of what's ahead, trapped as it was in a time that they lived within a sort of perpetual nativity cycle. Despite what Simeon says to Mary, a sword will pierce your own soul too, we leave him in a state of rejoicing. These few lived out their lives in perpetual hopefulness, untouched by the later tragedy and confusion of Jesus' life, having met this baby before all the hard stuff happened, before their faith could be further challenged. We don't necessarily have that luxury. But even so, may we too live in perpetual hopefulness, tempered though it be with the realism that we live in a world of chaos and darkness. Keep lighting your candle anyway. Together, we may yet dispel the night and light the way back to God. Amen.